This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky.
Hi, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and my crocuses are finally starting to appear in my garden, and maybe we'll even have tulips at the Wisconsin State Capitol before it's May. Welcome to Free Thought Radio.
And I'm your friendly neighborhood atheist, Dan Barker. This is April 12th, 2014. Free Thought Radio is produced in Madison, Wisconsin. We also broadcast in many other states, right now in California, parts of New York, Michigan, Missouri, and Texas. And you can go to ffrf.org/news/radio to sign up to get the regular podcast.
Free Thought Radio is the production every week of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. I'm an original co-founder with my mother, Ann Gaylor, back in 1976.
And you are an original, Annie Laurie.
Thank you. And it's gone from the two of us and then three of us to over 20,000 members in North America. FFRF is the nation's largest association of atheists and agnostics. And our second purpose is to keep religion out of government. And we have a staff of 14, including five attorneys who are working hard to do just that. And you can join us not someday, but today at FFRF.org.
Now, speaking of the tulips at the state capitol, today we're going to talk with a local artist and a businessman. His name is Ellis Felker. He's the owner of Red Oak Cards.
And that's out of Muscadet, Wisconsin. And we've known Ellis for many years. Ellis, by the way, has an iconic card of tulips at the capitol. And if you've ever purchased winter solstice greeting cards from FFRF, or maybe we've sent you a pretty thank you, it may well have been a card that we ordered via Red Oak Publishers. So we'll talk with Ellis and learn more about him on the second half of Free Thought Radio.
Now, in the news this week, of course, is the big controversy over Ayaan Hirsi Ali being pulled from an honorary degree and the commencement speech at Brandeis University.
Yes, she was. It was announced March 31st, along with several others, that she was getting this honorary degree. And then earlier this week, Brandeis, with complete rudeness, withdrew the honorary degree. And it was a result of getting inundated, apparently, with criticism by Islamic groups. And just by way of reminding you who Ayaan Hirsi Ali is, she was born in Somalia, escaped in 1992 to the Netherlands when her family wanted to do an arranged marriage with a relative. And she went from this little Somali girl to someone who mastered the Dutch language and got a master's degree and then got elected to Dutch parliament. And she worked with Theo van Gogh, who was a relative of the famous painter. And they were doing a film submission criticizing the Islamic treatment of women. And he was brutally stabbed on his bicycle and killed. And they left a note to her that she was next. Excuse me.
And stabbed the note onto his chest.
They stabbed the note onto his chest in 2004. She had to go into hiding. And then she's since come to this country and written a beautiful memoir called Infidel, a follow-up called Nomad. And so if somebody has the right as a woman to be concerned about Islam's treatment of women, don't you think it's Ayaan Hirsi Ali?
We've had her on our show before, and she spoke at our convention. We gave her our Emperor Has No Clothes Award in Madison a few years ago. And maybe we'll hear a little bit of her remarks there. But after the news of Brandeis's decision, unfortunate decision, Ayaan Hirsi Ali was invited to speak on Fox News Wednesday night, and she was interviewed by Megyn Kelly about this whole thing. And, of course, Fox News has a lot of interest in also going after Muslims. And Megyn Kelly was pretty much gushing over having someone like Ayaan Hirsi Ali on the show. We can't play the whole interview, but here's some of Ayaan Hirsi Ali's gracious response to being booted out by Brandeis University.
Any time that I bring up the treatment of women in Islam, or the link between violence and violence justified in the name of Islam. It's Muslims who commit violence, who bring the Quran and the Hadith and the core texts on the table. And every time I say, hey, it's important that we talk about this. I was brought up in the religion of Islam. It is my father and my mother's morality. I understand the risk. Let's talk about it. Every single time I do a public speaking, I meet with some form of protest along those lines. Mm-hmm. What surprised me is the decision by Brandeis first to say, we want to give you this honor. We know what you do. And in the age of Google, all of that is out there. And to come around and say, we really didn't know some of these things, I think it's a very feeble excuse. But I don't want this to distract us from what I wanted to say during that commencement, which was to tell these students how incredibly privileged they are, and especially the female students amongst them, that they're growing up in a world that is free, where they have proper education, and that the way to get to a better world, a world of peace, is to learn how to think critically. And I know that my presence for the Muslim students in Brandeis and other universities, it is controversial, but I thought that's exactly what universities are for. We send our kids to school so that they can be confronted with ideas that they're not comfortable with. If you insult Jews in this country, if you insult Christians, you insult Mormons, I've watched the Book of Mormon, you will get people who will write to you about their outrage. But there's always this fear that if you insult Muslims, there's going to be some kind of violent repercussion. That may have been part of the decision to do that, but they're not doing their students any favors, and they're not doing their Muslim students any favors, because to really be assimilated into American society is to accept the idea that you can have a robust debate. And there's no other place better to do that than on university campuses. The decision of the Brandeis University is really regrettable. It makes me sad.
So Megyn Kelly may like criticism of religion, but she would not like hearing, we need a free and robust debate. We need critical thinking. Ayaan Hirsi Ali is an atheist. And then you had some other, you noticed some other remarks that she made.
Well, Ayaan Hirsi Ali prepared a written statement, which pretty much said what you just heard her say, but she also said in her written statement, what was initially intended as an honor has now devolved into a moment of shaming. Yet the slur on my reputation is not the worst aspect of this episode. More deplorable is that an institution set up on the basis of religious freedom should today so deeply betray its own founding principles. Neither Brandeis nor my critics knew or even inquired as to what I might say at the graduation. They simply want to silence me. And then she ends by saying, I can only wish the class of 2014 the best of luck and hope that they will go forth to be better advocates for free expression and free thought than their alma mater.
Now, to talk about a little bit more about Ayaan Hirsi Ali, she spoke at our convention several years ago and got our coveted Emperor Has No Clothes Award, which is a golden statuette. And let's listen to a little bit of that speech.
But I'm really, really honored, really privileged to get this award and to say that a little girl who was born in Somalia, standing before you, speaking to you in the English language, found my way through the darkness of what it means to grow up in a religion, in a tribal context, and in all kinds of superstitions, to be somehow rescued from all that puts me in a position that I continuously have to pinch myself. And it gives me confidence. It gives me hope in the fact that human reason, even when it's most unlikely, human reason is going to prevail over all those superstitions.
And this is a motto FFRF has used for years, may reason prevail, let reason prevail. So it was lovely to hear her say that. And then, you know, she's not just a critic of Islam. Here are some of her final remarks.
We don't claim supremacy. We are not perfect. We are human. What we want for other humans is simply that recognition. And what we need to do in the 21st century, not only with Islam, but it's any kind of irrationality, be it religious, be it secular, that tries to capture human reason. And I hope we can carry on. I hope this is just the beginning and that we succeed. Thank you so much.
So it's really the Enlightenment at stake.
Can people write to Brandeis?
Yes, we have an action alert up at our website, fffref.org/news. Go to the action alert dropdown and please write or call them. And then I want to put a little pitch. It was an exciting convention when we had Ayan Hirsi Ali, and we have another exciting convention coming up in Raleigh. We're taking Freedom from Religion to the Bible Belt. The first weekend in May 2nd and 3rd, we'll be at the downtown Sheraton. And Dan will be there speaking or playing. We'll have Stuart Watson, who's the great investigative reporter on megachurches from Charlotte. Bart Ehrman, who's a national figure, an agnostic Bible scholar.
And we've had Bart on our show before.
But we have never had him at a convention. He's a national figure. Mandisa Thomas, Black Nonbelievers. Todd Stiefel of the Stiefel Foundation, who was really the man behind the Reason Rally. We have four student honorees, Kaylee and Ben Wilson, who were prevented from starting a club in North Carolina at their high school. Max Nielsen, who's our plaintiff in a South Carolina school prayer graduation case. Sophia Winkler, we're going to show a documentary. Sophia goes to the Good News Club. Hmm. Scott Burdick, we've had on our show. He's a
filmmaker,
international artist, and he's done documentaries on film. We have a clergy panel that Dan will emcee with local. Pat Nugent, Michael Nugent from Ireland, the founder of Atheist Ireland, talking about very important global issues and Ireland. So it's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be the Village Idiots Entertainment, meet and greet, cake reception, lots of fun. So look at our website, fffref.org. Go to the events and convention.
That's May the 2nd through 3rd, 2014.
Yeah, and it's time to get your hotel room.
Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We're going to talk with Ellis Felker, a local artist and businessman.
I cannot what the world may say. Without your love, there is no day.
And this is Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. And why are we listening to Petula Clark?
Well, Petula Clark might indeed be a free thinker. She certainly doesn't seem to be a religious person. But that's not the reason we're listening to this song. It's the song called This Is My Song, which was written by Charlie Chaplin, who was indeed a free thinker and a non-believer. This week is the birthday of Charlie Chaplin. The actor and film director Charlie Chaplin was born on April the 16th in 1889 in London. He came to America in 1910, and then 6 years later, he was earning $10,000 a week, the highest paid actor in the world. He was known as the Little Tramp, and for you young people listening, you might have seen...
These are silent pictures.
Yeah, he was started in silent films, and then in The Great Dictator, he moved into talkies, but... He's that little tramp with a little mustache, kind of that little Hitlerish thing that looks pretty silly. He starred and produced and directed and wrote and scored and edited his movies, including The Kid, The Gold Rush, City Lights, and of course, The Talkie, The Great Dictator. He was a beloved figure. He was admired by many prominent freethinkers, including George Bernard Shaw, Marcel Proust, Sigmund Freud, Bertrand Russell. In 1919, he co-founded United Artists. His fourth wife, Una O'Neill, was the daughter of the playwright Eugene O'Neill, who was also a freethinker. The public tide turned against him after a paternity suit in the 40s, and then he was kind of blacklisted. J. Edgar Hoover managed to keep him from coming back into the country. But Charlie Chaplin said, "In Philadelphia, I inadvertently came upon an edition of Robert Ingersoll's Essays and Lectures. This was an exciting discovery. His atheism confirmed my own belief that the horrific cruelty of the Old Testament was degrading to the human spirit."
Now, one thing I didn't know about Charlie Chaplin is that he was a songwriter and wrote most of the music for his films, even scoring and directing the orchestra.
His most famous song is Smile. Here's Tony Bennett's rendition of that song.
Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile, even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. If you smile through your fears and sorrow, smile and maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun come shining through for you. Light up your face with gladness. Hide every trace of sadness. Although a tear may be ever so near, that's the time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll find that life is still worthwhile if you just smile.
That's Tony Bennett singing the Charlie Chaplin song we all know, Smile. And now, Dan, you got curious and did a little bit of research about Tony Bennett, whom I know you've always admired. And what did you find out about him?
Well, it appears that he's also a free thinker. He's apparently never made any comments about God or religion. You'd expect, being from an Italian family, he'd be Catholic. But on his Facebook page, he recently wrote, "My life experiences, ranging from the Battle of the Bulge to marching with Martin Luther King, made me a lifelong humanist and a pacifist, and reinforced my belief that violence begets violence and that war is the lowest form of human behavior." When Scott Simon on NPR asked Tony Bennett, "What is the secret of life?" you'd think this would have been a good opportunity, if he were religious, to respond with something about God or religion. But instead, Tony Bennett talks about nature.
I can't end this interview without asking you, what's the secret to staying alive and active and creative and there?
I love life. I wish I could communicate to the whole planet what a gift it is to be alive. I've just learned by studying nature, because I paint every day, and I keep learning that the master, as Rembrandt said, is nature. And you keep looking at it. And you keep trying to understand it. You can't comprehend the height of creativeness that nature has. What a gift it is to be part of the whole universe.
So, no God, no intelligent designer, just creative nature. And by the way, Scott Simon appears to be free-thinking, too. So the world is full of creative free-thinkers and influential free-thinkers, and you can go to our free thought of the day at ffrf.org to be inspired by the thousands and thousands of authors and writers and painters and musicians and activists who comprise the free thought movement, past and present.
And you can meet some of them at our conventions.
We have the Raleigh Convention coming up May 2nd and 3rd. Go to our events section to sign up and get more information. We also have Lake Hypatia, 4th of July, our Alabama chapter coming up, July 4th, and we'll have more about that in our national convention at the Biltmore in L.A. with a big lineup, including the discoverer of Lucy,
Donald Johansson.
Donald C. Johansson. We're really excited about that.
In October.
Some legal eagles, Marcy Hamilton and Erin Chemerinsky, Sean Carroll, the physicist, Edwina Rogers from the Secure Coalition, Anthony Pinn from Rice University. So lots going on this year for Free Thought.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio, including our interview with Ellis Felker.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we have with us today in studio Ellis Felker. Last night I was walking home from work and I stopped in our little neighborhood grocery store. We have one of these almost extinct things now in America, a little neighborhood.
The Regent Street Market.
Regent Market Co-op, which is small, like a storefront building. But I went in to get some bread and some fruit and that. And as I went into the store, there's this stand of greeting cards, red oak greeting cards. And space in that little store is really at a premium, but they found the space to put this, I guess, like an island. No man is an island, or an island in the store of these beautiful greeting cards, the red oak greeting cards.
And you'll find them wherever you go in Madison, Wisconsin. We'll have to find out where else from our guest, Ellis Felker. And Ellis was told me he was born in a small town German Catholic family in the 1950s, Marshfield, Wisconsin, where FFRF has had to sue over violations. He got a Bachelor of Science in Rural Sociology in 1974 at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And then he started Red Oak Publishers in 1983. So welcome to the show, Ellis.
Well, thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. You need to say, Annie Laurie, that FFRF sells his cards.
Yes, we sell many cards, and they're personalized as winter solstice greeting cards, especially the beautiful thank yous. So members of FFRF have probably gotten these cards or seen these cards, mm-hmm. and we really enjoy working with Ellis, and he makes friends wherever he goes with his cards. And so, Ellis, tell us a little bit about your entrepreneurial ventures before we get into your journey.
Okay, well, I was raised in Marshfield, and my dad had a steel fabrication company, and I think I had that entrepreneurial spirit within me, you know. So then I went to college and majored in business and hated it. So I transferred to sociology and started to write and take photographs, and I realized, like, I was onto something, you know. I really liked what I was doing, and I thought, man, if I could just share my photographs with the world, man, what a life that would be. So I always thought I'd rather sell 100 images at $1 than one image at $100. I always had that kind of marketing instinct to spread what I do all over, you know, as far as I could. So I started Red Oak in 1983, and it's been 32 years, and it's been up and down, it's been in and out, it's been crazy, it's been wonderful, it's been heaven and hell, and now it's the last 5 years, it's really sort of stabilized, and things are going well. And
Is it a one-person operation, or do
it's a two-and-a-half person.
Okay.
Two-and-a-half.
Because
I work out of my home on a farm.
So how do you get half a person to work in your farm?
A part-time packaging person.
Because you have a lot of delivery work. I thought I could make a million bucks. You know, you're very hands-on. I mean, you have to deliver the cards.
I do everything. I still, you know, I long to not do everything. I pack orders. I do marketing. I still drive around. I write poetry. I take photographs. You know, it can be a little exhausting sometimes, but I would love just to be the creative person. That's my goal, you know, and nothing else.
I want to say, Ellis, that one of the photos you took was made into a poster, the one with the kitty on it.
Oh, yeah.
And it says, I asked the little, what, read it there.
Well, Ellis, what does it say, Ellis?
Okay, it says, I once asked the four-year-old what the secret of life was. Feed the kitties, she said, feed the kitties. Now, that's a true story. It happened to me probably 20 years ago in Taos, New Mexico. My friend's daughter named Hannah was on the floor feeding her kitten. And I I bent down and I said, I was always asking people what life is about, you know, because I didn't know at that time. And I said, what's the secret of life, Hannah? She said, Ellis, feed the kitties, feed the kitties. I went, oh, my God.
She knew already. Wisdom.
Yeah, she's like 4 years old.
Well, we have that framed poster at the foot of our staircase in our home.
That's right. Well, actually, my mother purchased that for our daughter, Sabrina, and framed it, and we love it, and we think it's very true.
Thanks. Well, you know, that was the first time I ever put my words on a card and a poster. I had no idea if it would strike a chord. You know, you never know. You have this instinct to do something, and you throw it out there, and it can bomb sometimes.
Well, we assume it's been very popular.
It's been huge. It's my best-selling card. Best-selling poster. I hear stories like this pretty often from people that see it somewhere, you know, my Air Force base in Saginaw, Michigan. Someone had it, you know.
Now, you don't have to be a cat lover, but I think it helps.
Well,
to have fed kittens in real life.
Now, we have four cats, you know.
Well, what I like about your work, and we heard just before this segment, we heard Tony Bennett, who's also an artist. He paints besides being a singer. Explaining that for him, the secret of life was found in the natural world, the beauty of nature, the beauty of what you can see with your eyes and feel and smell. And there you go. What's more natural and real than little kitties who need to be fed?
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
I once had to keep some kittens alive. They had distemper and I had to force feed them. So it's literally true.
Yeah. Well, we live on a farm and cats always show up at our door. I think we have like a vibe, you know, and we always take them in and some make it and some don't. I bet 20 cats have come and gone through our farm and we, you know, they live and they die and we nurture them and they, you know, few of them got eaten by, you know, coyotes, but it's, you know, it's really satisfying to rescue. We've rescued horses, you know, it's very satisfying to feed the kitties, you know. It's really kind of, it's like a metaphor for life, you know.
Yeah.
Now, I know that you were raised, grew up Roman Catholic, and did you kind of stay in that religion for much of your adult life?
No. When I was a kid, I was a very gung-ho Catholic. I was altar boy. God, I used to wake up at 4 a.m. and walk backwards in a blizzard to serve the nuns at 4:30. I was so, and then gradually, you know, I missed my first mass, and which was a real horror. You know, I felt, oh, I'm going to
hell
now.
Is that an actual sin to miss your mass, or?
Well, it wasn't those days. I have no idea. Probably, you know, I mean, the whole thing was, you got to start somewhere, right? And I haven't done the Catholic thing for, you know, 40 years. Although, like at a wedding, maybe I'll go to communion or something. But I have evolved past that to a deeper level, I'd say. My parents died about 5 years ago, and it really forced me to look deeper and to look inner. And I've really kind of arrived at myself, you know. I've kind of put away the outer God and really kind of internalize it, which is really the message of Jesus, you know. The kingdom of heaven is within you, and it is, and I think I've discovered that. And
Or the kingdom of nature is within you.
Or the kingdom,
of us could say it that way.
Nature, But I think there is some force within us, and it's the creative force, it's the love force, whatever you want to call it. Mystics have all pointed to it, and I think it's there, but it's inside. I mean, it's outside too, but it's inside. And when I really, it's a leap to accept that. It's almost, in my case, you have to risk going to hell. I mean, this is kind of went through. I thought, oh my God, I'm leaving God behind. What's going to happen to me? You know, nothing. I'm just a happier person. I don't have that pair of eyes looking at me anymore saying, oh, you know, bad boy, you know what I mean? This has only been the last couple of years, so.
So you're a pretty new free thinker.
I'm a free thinker, sure.
And
but I don't want to have a label. No labels.
Well, free thought means the use of reason informing your opinion about religion.
Yeah, and I'm always thinking and I'm always developing. I'm always writing and you know, I'm working on a book, two books, and I about my whole process. And it's really neat because, you know, you start trusting yourself, which is great. Trust yourself.
You know, I went through the same thing, that same fear of hell and judgment and God and that whole thing. And And I think what happened with both of us, Annie Laurie didn't. Annie Laurie was raised with no religion, so she was spared all of that. But it's like taking what is upside down and turning it right side up. Instead of us being the receivers of this so-called inspired stuff outside of us, it's within us. It's like what we did with the U.S. Constitution. Instead of having a government based upon a supreme lord or master, we turn it upside down and said, we the people. Mm-hmm. So you and I, the people, that's our own natural self, which I think that's what you're talking about, how
well,
we flip it.
It is, and we're the givers. We are the givers. And my second all-time best-selling card after The Feed the Kitties is a card I put out called We Are All Here to Be Angels for Each Other. Huge seller. I had no idea people would get that. You know, instead of saying there's an angel looking out for us, which is obviously not true, otherwise, you know, there'd be no disasters and no death. And I put this card out, and it's just people respond to it. I think there's a whole new energy happening on the planet, which is more, you know, earth-based, more horizontal-based, less I and thou, and more you and me, you know, more love energy flowing between people, you know, which religion has too. I'm not saying it doesn't, but this is what really blew my mind. I was in my bathtub where I got a lot of my ideas, and I realized it's not our fault. I was always told it's our fault. Religion always says it's our fault.
Original sin.
Yes, original sin. And I thought, that's ridiculous. We were born here into this very messy situation, very difficult. We die. We have disease. Our loved ones die. My parent, you know, when I lost my parents, it was awful. You know, they both died. I lost my mom, my dad, my best friend, and my dog all in 4 months.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I walked around my farm just shaking my head, you know, and then I just thought, wait a minute. It just made me think, and I realized life is not easy, you know. And
yeah, so your bathtub was like natural baptism, I think.
I think so, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like Ingersoll said, baptism with soap, it is a good thing.
So, or a de-baptism.
Well, you know, it's just my experience, and it's my evolution, and that's where I'm at.
So we have to take a break here.
We're going to be listening to some more Charlie Chaplin because it's his birthday, April 18th, and you will undoubtedly recognize this music and not have known. It's called Dancing on the Yacht, Day's Pleasure, written by Charlie Chaplin.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio. We're talking with Ellis Felker.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we have in studio with us Ellis Felker, who is the entrepreneur behind Red Oak Publishers. And we were talking during the break with you, Ellis, again, just about your business, because we're your customers. And you have, you said that you took the first 100 photos that you used to put on cards, and then you kind of burned out.
Yeah.
And you have about 250 cards now in your catalog?
Yeah, I started out myself. I was living in California, actually, and I roamed all over California and Oregon, and you know, just for years, and I took a lot of photographs, and you know, I eventually life became a 5x7 frame, you know. It really kind of became kind of tormenting. I remember I was crossing the Golden Gate Bridge once, and I just about threw my camera out the window because I just was so sick of it, you know. I just wanted to look at the world without my camera.
I see.
So I thought I got to start buying other people's work because, you know, plus I didn't, I kind of was more attracted to like mystery and shadow, and I needed to broaden the line, which like clowns and flowers, which I wasn't drawn to. So I came home and I had a lot of photographers that contacted me over the years. And so I had, you know, hundreds of names. And so I said, okay, let's look at what's out there. And I remember I was at the printer. And all these photographs of mine, and they weren't quite, you know, maybe mass market enough. I remember I had an old hairy man walking in front of a bathhouse in Los Angeles looking at his watch, you know, really a great photo. And I had him, actually, I said, would you mind walking past that bathhouse again? So I took it. And I just realized it's not going to sell. It's too weird.
I'll buy one.
So I just started, I realized I have to get a little more mainstream, and I started.
We're looking through your catalog here, Red Oak Greeting Cards, and you can tell us how to find you online in a minute, but thumbing through the pages of all these different occasions and card purposes and spotting a bunch of cards that we have bought from you from FFRF.
And then you've printed them, meaning the pears and the
flowers.
Flowers, and a lot of the winter solstice cards. It's been a great boon for us, let me tell you, to have the variety.
That's great. That's what it's all about, you know. It's that connecting people. Cards connect people. It's so fantastic, you know.
And it's an old-fashioned.
It's very old-fashioned. It's almost out of fashion, but it's not.
I mean,
we're having the best years in history.
Oh, good.
But you are online, right?
We're online at redoakcards.com.
Redoakcards.com.
Now, that's been, you know, I think, you know, cards have become more like a special thing now. They're a little, they're almost like a gift in themselves.
Right.
You know, so I think that's kind of where we come in, that we're doing really good lately. And
The Freedom From Religion Foundation, we're still in the habit of sending a physical thank you card to people who donate amounts of money to the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And a lot of people say that's so nice to get that personal touch signed by Annie Laurie or me or one of our staff members.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I do not plan to give it up.
Well, good.
So,
well, you know,
we hope you'll be in business for a while more.
I think that's true, that with internet and email and Twitter and Facebook, it's kind of impersonal. And I think there was and is a reaction against that. So when people get a card, it really stands out. It's really a special thing. And I think if your cards are, you know, up to, you know, have the beauty or the aesthetic, thank you, people respond to them. You know, I really am careful what I publish. I do about 20 images a year, so it's not like I get thousands and thousands, and the ones I publish really have some special, in my opinion, some special energy, vibration, aesthetic, and I think they really hit me in a deep place, and I think when people see them, they're struck in that place also. I think that's why I'm successful, because I'm able to sort of tap into that energy that connects us all through the cards, if I can be so bold. But it's true. I think that's kind of why I'm a good editor, you know. Basically.
Well, they jump out at you when you're walking by them in the store. I see that. I mean, it's a head turner. Oh, look at that. You know, they're colorful, they're gorgeous, they're attractive.
Thanks.
So.
Do you have these displays any place outside of the Madison area, or is it just regional?
We're all over the country. We probably have a couple hundred stores. I think we have two card racks outside of Madison. One in a car wash in Sepulveda, California, or something. A car wash, one card rack, and the other one is in Provincetown, New Hampshire. That's it for card racks. But we sell, you know, a lot of cards. You know, dozens.
Online.
Not many people buy a card rack, but in Madison we have a lot.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
we,
they're everywhere.
Yeah, we're selling.
Fortunately,
you know, co-ops, Walgreens, Charism, Neuhauser, they're all over there, because we do it ourselves. You know, we can't. You know, my sales director and I, I'm still on the road 2 or 3 days a week, filling card rack. This is what I mean. This is what I do. You know, here I'm the owner of the company. I walk in carrying a box. They think people probably think I'm just a schlepper. You know, the guy that works for the man. And then when they realize I'm the man, you know, they like, oh, my God. And it's kind of neat, because...
Yeah, you deliver our cards and envelopes.
Well, the managers at the store say, oh, nice to meet you. Mm-hmm. And they're impressed that it's me still doing it after 32 years. And, you know, that's the way it is.
So you can find real meaning in life by focusing on this world, the natural world, the real world, and making a full life out of that.
Totally. Totally, Dan. It is a tough transition to go from, like, you know, small town Catholic to realizing, my God is here now. This is it. You know, this is my life. Maybe there's something more, but the power is here. You know, the love is here. And you know, it's good. It's fun to help. You know, I think is helpful to people. You know, it inspires people. I do a lot. I sell a lot of sympathy cards. It's really, it's just cool knowing someone will buy my card and send it as a sympathy card and have an intimate message, all inspired by the image on the cover. You know, I mean, that is really a good, it's a really good feeling, you know? And it's not about the money. It's never been about the money. You know, I never made much money and I'd like to, but you know, it's all about the spirit of the transaction, you know, the connection.
I like how you use the word inspired, because I think we natural non-believers are truly inspired, while believers are outspired. They have to get their source from outside of themselves somewhere, from some master. We find it within ourselves, the inspiration, if we can use it in a natural sense, that comes from the real world.
Well, thank you so much, Alice Falker. And tell people again your website.
The website is redoakcards.com.
Thank you.
And we're done with Free Thought Radio for today. We also want to thank our engineer and producer, Dave McCann. You can find out all you want to know about Free Thought Radio at our website, ffrf.org/news/radio. And you can also sign up for the weekly podcast of this show.
And go to ffrf.org to join us, or to ask for a sample of the April issue, or phone 1-800-335-4021, the April issue of Free Thought Today. Help us in our litigation and our broadcasting and our education. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting, and we'll have Steven Pinker on in 2 weeks.
Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday.